From Montreal, Quebec, this is the Bard Brawl.
Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to Valentine's Day week Bard Brawl Sonnets Extravaganza. My name is Daniel J. Rowe. It's that echo was not done by computers, nor any of the songs that we recorded in the Bard Brawl, but was done by my co-host and co-creator of the Bard Brawl, Mr. Eric Jean.
Hey!
And Stephanie E.M. Coleman also joining us.
Hi!
We have been recording the sonnets 1 through 17 over the past couple months. This is going to be a special Bard Brawl podcast where you can listen to all 17 sonnets by all our beautiful sonneteers. Back to back, we won't be interrupting them with our comments, except for right now. Give us, Eric, 30 seconds to break down Sonnets 1 through 17 for those who haven't listened to the other three podcasts.
Well, here's basically what you need to know for these 17 sonnets. They're addressed to a young man who, it seems, has been busy dandying it up, partying and hanging out, and not interested in having any children, getting married, starting a family, and keeping up his noble lineage. And so Shakespeare was commissioned, probably, to write these sonnets, and they basically all, in different ways, make arguments for why he should shack up and have kids.
So a challenge I posed in one of the previous podcasts was, listen to all 17 sonnets and think, what would it feel like to be the guy who these sonnets were written to? Because everybody in court would know who it is. Mm-hmm. He would know who he is.
Yes.
And he would have to read these 17 sonnets about how he doesn't have any kids and how he should have kids.
Like, wow, you took all this time to sit down and write these things? Couldn't we just sit down and have a talk or something?
About me?
Yeah.
Please enjoy these. I find them very fascinating. I very much appreciate and thank you to all of our sonneteers who read these. So thank you to Maya Pancala, Stephanie E.M. Coleman, Melissa Myers, Virginia Tremblay, Mickey Laval, Kayla Cross, Esther Virag, Laura Pelliser, oh, and Hannah DeRosio. She wrote 17.
And no sonneteers were hurt in the recording of this.
All of them are reading them cold. None of them have done them in advance of me asking them to. And they all are excellent in their own way. So please enjoy Sonnets 1 through 17. Join us next time when the Bard Brawl goes back into the play format. And thank you for joining us.
Sonnet number 1. From fairest creatures we desire increase, that thereby beauty's rose might never die. But as the riper should by time decease, his tender heir might bear his memory. But thou, contracted to thine own bright eyes, feed'st thy light's flame with self-substantial fuel, making a famine where abundance lies, thyself thy foe, to thy sweet self too cruel. Thou that art now the world's fresh ornament, and only herald to the gaudy spring, within thine own bud buriest thy content, and, tender churl, mak'st waste in niggarding. Pity the world, or else this glutton be, to eat the world's dew by the grave and thee.
Sonnet 2. When 40 winters shall besiege thy brow, and dig deep trenches in thy beauty's field, thy youth's proud livery, so gazed on now, will be a tattered weed of small worth held. Then being asked where all thy beauty lies, where all the treasure of thy lusty days, to say within thine own deep sunken eyes, were an all-eating shame and thriftless praise. How much more praise deserved thy beauty's use, if thou couldst answer, this fair child of mine shall sum my count and make my old excuse, proving his beauty by succession thine. This were to be new made when thou art old, and see thy blood warm when thou feel'st it cold.
Sonnet 3. Look in thy glass and tell the face thou viewest. Now is the time that face should form another, whose fresh repair, if now thou not renewest, thou dost beguile the world and bless some mother. For where is she so fair whose unnerred womb disdains the tillage of thy husbandry? Or who is he so fond will be the tomb of his self-love to stop posterity? Thou art thy mother's glass, and she is thee, calls back the lovely April of her prime. So thou through windows of thine age shalt see, despite of wrinkles, this thy golden time. But if thou live remembered not to be, die single, and thine image dies with thee.
Sonnet 4. Unthrifty loveliness, why dost thou spend upon thyself thy beauty's legacy? Nature's bequest gives nothing, but doth lend, and being frank she lends to those are free. Then, beauteous niggard, why dost thou abuse the bounteous largess given thee to give? Profitless usurer, why dost thou use so great a sum of sums, yet canst not live? For having traffic with thyself alone, thou of thyself thy sweet self dost deceive. Then how, when nature calls thee to be gone, what acceptable audit canst thou leave? Thy unused beauty must be tombed with thee, which, used, lives the executor to be.
Sonnet number 5. Those hours that with gentle work did frame, the lovely gaze where every eye doth dwell, will play the tyrants to the very same, and that unfair which fairly doth excel. For never resting time leads summer on, to heedless winter and confounds him there. Sap checked with frost and lusty leaves quite gone, beauty o'ersnowed and bareness everywhere. Then were not summer's distillation left, a liquid prisoner pent in walls of glass, beauty's effect with beauty were bereft. Nor it, nor no remembrance what it was, but flowers distilled, though they with winter met, lease but their show, their substance still leaves sweet.
Sonnet 6. Then let not winter's ragged hand deface in thee thy summer ere thou be distilled. Make sweet some vile treasure thou some place with beauty's treasure ere it be self-killed. That use is not usury, which happies thou that pay the willing loan. That's for thyself to breed another thee, or 10 times happier, be it 10 for 1. 10 times thyself were happier than thou art, if 10 of thine 10 times refigured thee. Then what could death do if thou shouldst depart, leaving thee living in prosperity? Be not self-willed, for thou art much too fair. Be death's conquest, and make worms thine heir.
Sonnet 7. Lo, in the Orient, when the gracious light lifts up his burning head, each under eye doth homage to his new appearing sight, serving with looks his sacred majesty, and having climbed the steep up heavenly hill, resembling strong youth in his middle age, yet mortal looks adore his beauty still. Attending on his golden pilgrimage, but when from hindmost pitch, with weary car like feeble age, he reeleth from the day, the eyes, foreduteous, now converted are from his low tracts and look another way. So thou diest outgoing in thy noon, and looked on diest, unless thou get a son.
Sonnet 8. Music to hear, why hearest thou music sadly? Sweets with sweets war not, joy delights in joy. Why lovest thou that which thou receivest not gladly, or else receivest with pleasure thine annoy? If the true concord of well-tuned sounds, by unions married, do offend thine ear, they do but sweetly chide thee, who confounds in singleness the parts that thou shouldn't bear. Mark how one string, sweet husband to another, strikes each in each by mutual ordering, resembling sire and child and happy mother, who, all in one, one pleasing note do sing, whose speechless song, being many, seeming one, sings this to thee, thou single wilt prove none.
Sonnet number 9. Is it for fear to wet a widow's eye that thou's consumed thyself in single life? Ah, if thou issueless shall hap to die, the world will wail thee like a makeless wife. The world will be thy widow and still weep, and thou no form of thee hast left behind. When every private widow will may keep, but children's eyes, her husband's shape in mind. Look, what an unthrift in the world doth spend, shifts but his place, for still the world enjoys it. But beauty's waste hath in the world an end, and kept unused in user so destroys it. No love toward others in that bosom sits, that on himself such murderous shame commits.
Sonnet 10. For shame deny that thou bear'st love to any, who for thyself art so unprovident. Grant, if thou wilt, that art beloved of many, but that thou now lov'st is most evident. For thou art so possessed with murderous hate, that against thyself thou stick'st not to conspire, seeking that beauteous roof to ruinate, which to repair should be thy chief desire. Oh, change thy thought, that I may change my mind. Shall hate be fairer lodged than gentle love? Be as thy presence is gracious and kind, or to thyself at least kind-hearted prove. Make thee another self for love of me, that beauty still may live in thine or thee.
Sonnet 11. As fast as thou shalt wane, so fast thou growest, in one of thine from that which thou departest, and that fresh blood which youngly thou bestowest, thou mayest call thine when thou from youth convertest. Herein lives wisdom, beauty, and increase. Without this, folly, age, and cold decay. If all were minded so, the times should cease, and their score year would make the world away. Let thou whom nature hath not made for store, harsh, featureless, and rude, barrenly perish. Look whom she best endowed she gave the more, which bounteous gift thou shouldest in bounty cherish. She carved thee for her seal and meant thereby. Thou shouldest print more, not let that copy die.
Sonnet number 12. When I do count the clock that tells the time, and see the brave day sunk in hideous night, when I behold the violet past prime, and sable curls all silvered o'er with white, when lofty trees I see barren of leaves, when erst from heat did canopy the herd, and summer's green all girded up in sheaves, born with the byre, with white and bristly beard. Then of thy beauty do I question make, that thou among the wastes of time must go, since sweet and beauties do themselves forsake, and die as fast as they see others grow. And nothing gainst time scathe can make defense, save breed, to brave him when he takes thee hence.
Sonnet number 13. Oh, that you were yourself, but, love, you are no longer yours than you yourself here live. Against this coming end you should prepare, and your sweet semblance to some other give. So should that beauty which you hold in lease find no determination. Then you were yourself again after yourself's decease, when your sweet issue your sweet form should bear. Who lets so fair a house fall to decay, which husbandry and honor might uphold against the stormy gusts of winter's day and barren rage of death's eternal cold. Oh, none but unthrifts. Dear my love, you know you had a father. Let your son say so.
Sonnet 14. Not from the stars do I my judgment pluck, and yet methinks I have astronomy, but not to tell of good or evil luck, of plagues or dearths or seasons' quality. Nor can I fortune to brief minutes tell, pointing to each his thunder, rain, and wind, or say with princes if it shall go well, by oft predict that I in heaven find. But from thine eyes my knowledge I derive, and, constant stars, in them I read such art as truth and beauty shall together thrive, if from thyself to store thou wouldst convert, or else of thee this I prognosticate. Thy end is truth's and beauty's doom and date.
Sonnet 15. When I consider everything that grows, holds in perfection but a little moment, that this huge stage presenteth not but shows, whereon the stars in secret influence comment, when I perceive that men as plants increase, cheered and checked even by the selfsame sky, vaunt in their youthful sap, at height decrease, and wear their brave state out of memory. Then the conceit of this inconstant stay sets you most rich in youth before my sight. Where wasteful time debateth with decay, to change your day of youth to sullied night. And all in war with time for love of you, as he takes from you, I engraft you new.
Sonnet 16. But wherefore do not you, a mightier way, make war upon this bloody tyrant time, and fortify yourself in your decay with means more blessed than my barren rhyme? Now stand you on the top of happy hours, and many maiden gardens yet unseen, with virtuous wish, would bear your living flowers, much liker than your painted counterfeit. So should the lines of life that life repair, which this time's pencil, nor my pupil pen, neither in inward worth nor outward fare, can make you live yourself in eyes of men. To give away yourself keeps yourself still, and you must live, drawn by your own sweet skill.
Sonnet 17. Who will believe my verse in time to come, if it were filled with your most high deserts? Though yet heaven knows it is but as a tomb which hides your life and shows not half your parts. If I could write the beauty of your eyes, and in fresh numbers number all your graces, the age to come would say, this poet lies, such heavenly touches ne'er touched earthly faces. So should my papers, yellowed with their age, be scorned like old men of less truth than tongue, and your tree rites be termed a poet's rage and stretched meter of an antique song. But were some child of yours alive that time, you should live twice in it and in my rhyme.